taming the tongue. Wouldn't it be nice if you could put a bridle on your tongue? And everybody who's married probably should say amen to that. But anyway, the scripture for this month, each month we've been focusing on a scripture. This month, for the month of August, is going to be 1 John 5:20. This is the Passion Translation. It says, "And we know that the Son of God has made our understanding come alive so that we can know by experience the one who is true. And we are in him who is true, God's Son, Jesus Christ, the true God and eternal life." We are in him. That's what I want us to focus on this month. I'm going to be this week and next week talking about words, talking about your speech. And the Bible says this: don't let any corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Any corrupt, most people think, you know, that could be like cussing or lying or anything like that. But in Ephesians 4:29, this is the Amplified Version, it says, "Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to your spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it." I'll talk probably more about this next week, but I think probably some of the most unwholesome talk that we say is about ourselves. I'll talk about that next week. Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2 says, Jesus, then he called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. That same authority has been given to everybody who believes in Jesus. This authority that Jesus said, he gave them power and authority over how many demons? All demons, and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So people say, you know, once the disciples died, the healing passed away. Well, you're a disciple if you're a follower of Christ. So that has been taught. You know, whatever you believe is true to you. The person, you know, I don't know who said this, but the person who says, "I can't do that," and the same other person who says, "Well, I can do that," they're both right. It's because that's what they believe. If you believe healing is past, then it's past for you. But for those who do not believe that and believe that healing is alive and well today, it's alive and well today. Jesus said in Luke 10:19, "Behold, I give unto you authority." I give you. That's talking to you. Luke 10:19, it's one of my favorite scriptures. I probably quote that quite a bit here. "Behold, I give unto you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Nothing shall by any means hurt you. You have authority because it's been given to you. People are wanting God to do things, but he's given you the authority. He's given you the authority. That would be like if I gave you a car and I said, "Here's the keys. You now have the keys. You are the owner of this car." And then later that week, you call me up and say, "Pastor Mike, can you start my car?" I say, "Come again? Can you start my car? That car that you gave me? Yeah, can you start it? You have the keys." "Oh, really? So I can start?" "Yeah, I don't have the keys anymore. I've given you the keys. You have now the power to start that car and go anywhere you want." Jesus says to you and to me today, you have the power and you have the authority. You're asking me for something that I have given to you. Luke 10:19, I give you power and authority. I give you. You now have it. You know how much victory the church could have if we get a revelation of that? Everybody's wanting God to do stuff still today. "God, would you just do this? Would you just do this for me? Just do this. God, would you do this?" I've given you the authority. God, will you heal me? God, will you heal me? I just need you to heal me. He's given you authority over every sickness and over every disease. It's what you believe. I said it's what you believe. I said it's what you believe. Christ speaking as you. You ever heard that? Christ speaking as you. Say what? That sounds like blasphemy. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says this, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So it is as Christ speaking as you because he's one with you. That is so powerful. People say, well, I just don't know. That sounds scary to say something like Christ speaking as me. You don't have a revelation of what the Bible says concerning that you are one with God. You and I are one with God. So when I'm speaking, it is the same as him speaking. I'm telling you, that is some most powerful revelation you and I can have. You know, people say, I just wish Jesus was here and he could speak to the mountain. I wish Jesus was here, he could speak to the cancer. I wish Jesus was here, he could do that. He's waiting on you to speak and he's ready to do it. This is the thing. It's his power. It's our authority. Did you get that? It's his power, but it's our authority that releases the power to do the healing. You and I can't heal. But the power that is in us, that is his power, but it's your and our authority that releases that power to do what it's commissioned to do. God's power still raises the dead. God's power still heals the sick. God's power still opens blind eyes. God's power still calms the sea. God's power still does. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Forever. His power is what you and I are going to believe. Mark 11, 22, 23. That's scripture that Kenneth Hagin wrote. This is what it says. That's a joke. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever, are you a whoever? Whoever says to this mountain, that's symbolic of any problem, of any sickness, or anything. Whoever says to this problem, this sickness, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Speaking to your problem. Speak to the problem what you want to happen. What do you want the problem? What do you want? How do you want this problem to go? It says, speak to the mountain and it shall obey you. Speak. So let's just say you have, a growth in your body. You don't go and say, God, would you make this growth go away? That scripture says you speak to the growth. You speak to the growth and you tell that growth what you want done to it. It says, you speak to the mountain. If you shall say, speak, mountain, be cast into the sea. So in other words, you're telling the mountain what you want it to do. So you speak to the tumor or growth. You would say this. You don't just say, you know, tumor, I want you to be healed. No, you want that tumor to be gone. So the way I would do it, I would say, tumor, I want you to dissolve and no longer exist in my body without any ill effects in Jesus' name. So you speak to, you tell it what to do. This is where the problem is. People don't believe that they have the power in their words to do something like that. So the first step before speaking to something is to believe that you have power in your words to do something like that. So from time to time, I just meditate and I say, my words are powerful. I have been given authority. the same authority that Jesus said that he had. He said, all authority has been given to me. Does that leave any authority out? Let me ask you this. Does that mean the devil has authority? I'm going to say it again. Does the devil have authority? No. The Bible says that all authority, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. That would leave out zero. That means nobody has authority but Jesus. But Jesus. And so this is what he says in Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you. He's the only one that can give authority because he's the only one who has authority. If I have something that nobody on this planet has, I'm the only one that can give this away. Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me. And then he turns to people and he says, behold, I give unto you authority. I give you authority. So now we have the authority. So now you have the authority. The devil does not have authority. Nobody else has authority. You do not have authority. The only thing you don't have authority over is people. It depends. You know, people say, well, it depends on if you're married or not, because my wife has authority over me. But I understand that. But anyway, it says that I have authority over every problem that I'm going through, situation that I'm going through, sickness or disease. I have authority over that. But you have to believe that. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So you have to believe that your words are powerful. The majority of the church world, and I'm talking about the whole church world around the world, they don't believe that there's power in their words. Most people here have heard sermons on your words. If you've been in our church for very long, you have. But speaking to your problem. Speaking to your problem. And the reason science is backing up now what people who believe in God have known. Science is starting to figure some things out. And everything that you see was made by the word of God. Jesus spoke. Light be, light was. Jesus spoke. The earth came into existence. Jesus spoke. You read in Genesis. Everything that you see, all of the animals, all of the critters, everything that is on this planet was spoken by God's word, and it was manifested by his word. So science comes along now, and they start with a new technology and with all of their smart equipment and everything. They find out some things that is eye-opening about the word of God and what he has said. I've got a short 2-minute clip that we're going to let you see and watch that, all right?
Imagine I have a beautiful tree that's filled with oranges. And I ask myself, what is the orange made of? How do I answer that question? Well, I want to look deeply inside the orange. So I magnify it, and I magnify it again, and if I keep on doing it, deep inside, sooner or later, I begin to see molecules come into view. But molecules are not the end of the story, because the molecules, I can enlarge them. And if I make them big enough deep inside, I begin to see atoms. Atoms are not the end of the story, too, because we have electrons zooming around the nucleus, deep inside, mostly empty space in the atom, but deep inside, we see the nucleus. So if I grab that and magnify it, I see that the nucleus is itself made of particles, neutrons, and protons. And if I grab one of the neutrons and magnify it, I find yet further particles, little tiny quarks inside. Now that is where the conventional ideas stop. String theory comes along and suggests that inside these particles there is something else. So if I take a little quark and I magnify it, conventional idea says there's nothing inside, but string theory says I'll find a little tiny filament, a little filament of energy, a little string-like filament. And just like the string on a violin, I pluck it and it vibrates, creates a little musical note that I can hear. The little strings in string theory, when they vibrate, they don't produce musical notes, they produce the particles themselves. So a quark is nothing but a string vibrating in one pattern. An electron is nothing but a string vibrating in a different pattern. A neutrino, nothing but a string vibrating in a different pattern still. So if I take all of this back together, I have my ordinary orange, and if these ideas are right, they are speculative, but if they are right, deep inside the orange or any other piece of matter is nothing but a dancing, vibrating cosmic symphony of strings. That's the basic idea of string theory.
So what he's saying is those strings are vibrating, they're making a sound. And what is the sound? It's the sound that whatever consists, like that orange, it's saying that it's an orange. That sound says that it's an orange. Everything, this is moving, this chair, even though it's steel, there's something inside of that is speaking, that vibration. In other words, when Jesus said, light be, if you could stop light somehow and open it up and open it up into where you could actually hear the string inside of light, you would hear this. You would hear light be. You would hear the voice of God that calls that light to come into existence. It was spoken and it still speaks today. It's still speaking. He doesn't have to. Aren't you glad God doesn't get up in the morning and go, okay, night's over. Light be. No. He's already spoken. So it never, ever goes away. It is consistently existing today. Everything that he spoke is still speaking today. This chair is speaking today. The steel, it's saying, I'm steel. I was spoken into existence. Whatever, I mean, I don't know what. Whatever it was made out of inside the earth, God spoke the earth into existence. So what he spoke is speaking today. God, everything that you see is God speaking today. Even though it was thousands of years ago, his voice has never gone away. Everything that you see. What's the point? What's the point, Pastor Mike? The point is this. He spoke 2,000 years ago and said, by my stripes, you were healed. What am I saying? It's still speaking today. Everything that God spoke and created, every word that came out of his mouth is still being spoken today. It still speaks today. Science is finding out about it. Oh, the string, it's vibrating, it's making a sound. And the sound that it makes came from. Where did that sound come from? Where did the sound come from? It came from creation thousands of years ago. It speaks today. All right, let's break it down a little bit more. The same God who spoke everything into existence, that same power, that same authority, the same creator of all things, Jesus said, I must leave. It is better if I leave and depart. Why? So that I can bring all that I am and come inside every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl, and every child. All that I am, I bring into your house. And your house, your body, becomes the temple of Almighty God. Everything that he says now can be spoken by you. Your words. His words now become your words. And now they can be released and go and be manifested the same as if it was manifested by God himself. That's powerful. Do you believe it, though? This is why it says in Romans, that you have to renew. This is the whole problem. Next year, I already know what the January 2024, we're going to talk about renewing the mind next year. Why? Because this is the problem. All of what God has said and spoken is inside of you, but between your ears has not comprehended, therefore you don't believe it, therefore you're not going to speak even as he spoke. Jesus said this himself. People think they have hiccups with what I'm saying. Some people may get offended at this. But Jesus himself said, the works that I do shall you do also. And in 1 John, he even says this, that greater works shall you do. Greater works than Jesus walking on the earth. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, see all the works that Jesus did. He said, the works that you see me do, even greater works shall you do. How is that possible? Because all that he is now dwells inside of you. And the Holy Ghost can lead you and guide you into all truth, show you things to come, tell you what to do. Show you what to do. The power of Almighty God is on the inside of you. And this is why it's so important to know that everything we see has a voice and it is a vibration. That's what God says. His voice created that. So what does that tell me? Everything that you see is voice activated and is still subject to the voice of God. It's still subject to the voice of God because it was created by his voice. Therefore, it is still subject by his voice. And that thing can obey the voice of God that comes out of your mouth. It's still subject to the voice of God. So sickness is subject to the voice of God because sickness wasn't created by God, but it came into the earth because of sin. It's on this planet because of sin. So now it is manifested because of sin. But it's subject to the voice of God. Anything that you see can be affected by God's voice. And even though he's not on this planet physically, he still dwells inside of people. And as you speak, it's the same. If you believe, it's the same as if God is speaking to them. Jesus spoke. That's why the disciples said they were in a ship. They were fishermen. They knew they were in a bad storm. They all thought they were going to die. Jesus was sleeping. The disciples were asleep. I mean, were scared to death, and Jesus was sleeping. They go and wake him up. Don't you care if we die? He was aggravated because he said, why didn't you take care of this? Why didn't you take care of this so I would not be awakened from my nap? I needed a nap. You woke me up. Why didn't you take care of this? They had, you mean I had the power over the winds and the storm? Yeah, that's what he was saying. You had the power to stop this. You had the power to stop this. Jesus speaks to a fig tree. How can you speak to something that doesn't have ears? Fig tree was spoken, and there's a string vibrating that's sounding, and it says, I'm a fig tree. So therefore, Jesus spoke to that, and the Bible said that it died. But the disciples walked back by it and go, still looks like a fig tree to me. The next morning, they go back the same path, and the fig tree was dead on a door now. And they got so excited. Jesus, it did work. We didn't think it worked yesterday, but now we know it worked. 24 hours later, it was manifested. The problem is, it was the roots died as soon as Jesus spoke to it. What you could see above the ground still looked good. How many know that you, if you cut all the roots off to something, it's still going to look like nothing happened? It didn't work. Oh, yeah. It's dead. There's no life coming up into that plant right now. Even though it looks like it's alive and well, it's dead. And the next day, it showed, it was manifested. This is what I'm saying. When you speak to something on your body, it could still be throbbing or whatever, and I go, nah, don't care what I feel. The word works. The word works. You have to believe that the word, Jesus said, have the faith of God. Listen to me, and this is the problem. Mark 11:23, it says, and don't doubt in your heart. This is what you need to get a hold of. Well, how do I know? Maybe doubts. Or is it still in my heart? Did you speak to it? Did you speak to the problem? If you did, you believed or you wouldn't have spoken. Listen to me. This is real simple, but it could be a light bulb moment for you. You let doubt reign inside of you because of what you think about doubt. But if I pray for, if I lay hands on somebody, I'm going, faith makes an action move. It declares, and so it is. Doubt says, oh, I don't believe that's going to happen. But I've already made a faith declaration. You're too late, doubt. You're too late for it, doubt, to override that. Now you can do this. You personally can go, oh, I thought I was healed. Or I thought I received it. Now your words cause doubt to come back alive. Because of what you have spoken. Because of what Job said this. In the book of Job, people talk about Job. Job said this, I will declare or decree a thing and it shall be. Old Testament. Job said, I will declare or decree a thing and it shall be. It shall be established. Job even understood that. He wasn't even a New Testament believer. Vibrations are alive and well. Listen, there's a group of physics that talk about string theory, and it will slowly dawn on you that they are explaining the entire universe as nothing but dancing echoes of the voice of God. According to Brian Greene, a Columbia University physicist educated at Harvard and Oxford University, if an atom were enlarged to the size of our solar system, a string would only be as large as a tree. We're talking about an atom, can't be seen with the naked eye. If you could blow that up to the size of the solar system, a string would be the size of a tree. Vibrating. And remember that Beach Boys song. Good vibrations. I really wanted to sing it, but anyway. Good vibrations. Everything you see is vibrating. In speaking and saying what it is. So if sickness is vibrating and showing pain or not working in your body, it's vibrating saying, this is what I am. But your word, which is God's, you can take God's word and speak to that vibration and trump it and make it do what you want it to do. You have the ability to say to it, but you got to say, don't just say be healed. You say, pain, you're leaving my body. You're not going to exist in this foot. You leave right now in Jesus' name. And you function foot the way that you were created to function. You function right. You function right. And you say it over, and I've said things 100 times in one day. Because I know that it's true. I'm not going to lie. No, you are not. You are not. Are you listening to me? You listen to me, foot. You listen to me, heart. You listen to me. You listen to me. You say it with authority. You believe in the authority of your words. You believe in the authority of your words. Everything is voice activated. Everything is voice activated. Jesus spoke to a fever. Peter's mother-in-law, that's great love. He says, you know, my mother-in-law's sick. He says, I'll take care of it. He didn't say, God, would you heal Peter's mother-in-law? Would you just touch her? Would you just touch her? No, he goes up to her and he says, fever, I command you to leave this body. The fever was vibrating and saying, I'm 102 degrees. I'm 104 degrees. and I'm increasing. I'm going to get up as high as I can. I'm 105 degrees. I'm increasing. No, you're done. Fever, you're done. You leave this body right now in the name of Jesus. Boom. It left. She got up and cooked them dinner. That's a win-win. Everything hears you. Everything is listening to you. Oh, this car is a piece of junk. It heard you. It heard you. Everything hears you. Oh, I am so broke. My checking account heard you. Your wallet heard you. Your purse heard you. Everything's listening to you. Everything's listening to you. Rudyard Kipling called them the most powerful drug used by mankind. Sartre, I'm probably not saying his name right, called them loaded pistols. The Bible makes it clear that the words you speak today are framing the kind of life you will experience tomorrow. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You have the ability to create or destroy just by the words that you speak. So, are you having victory in your life? Peace in your life? If you're not experiencing a continual refreshing of deep inner peace, love, and joy, not growing more gracious and kinder and patient toward others, you can be sure you've gotten off the path. Because if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, Jesus' life always produces fruit. His kind of fruit. Galatians 5:22-23, fruit. So, there's two types of Christians. There's Christians that are trying to follow Christ. And there's Christians who know that Christ is inside of them. And their goal is to manifest all that he is. That's a victorious Christian. And that's the kind of Christian that Jesus came for. That's why he came to this earth. To create people that will walk even as he walked. You can only do that if you know that you've been given authority and that the power resides inside of you. If you believe that the power resides inside of you, then when you speak, you know. People say, well, how long do I have to speak until you see it manifested? Well, you know, what if it takes a long time? Jesus told Abraham, your father of many nations, before he ever conceived, before Sarah ever conceived. He said, Abraham, you're the father of many nations. Had zero kids. It took Abraham 10 years to believe what God said about him already. It took him 10 years. But God helped him out as much as possible. He said, Adam, you see the sand? Yes. That's just like your children. It's going to be like the sands. Adam, at nighttime, he goes out at nighttime. He looks at the stars. See the stars, Adam? That's just like your kids. And then, I don't want to get too gross here. This took place the year before he had a son. He says, I want you to have circumcision. And that's going to, you are going to know now, the covenant that I have made with you, the words that I've said to you, will and are being manifested. So every time he went to the bathroom, he realized he had a covenant with God. So if he was walking in the sand, if he was walking and seeing the stars, or if he was going to the bathroom, something was speaking to him every time. 24/7, every day, it was speaking to him. You're the father of many nations. You're going to have many kids, Abraham. Your name even. Anytime somebody called, his name was Abram. They changed it to Abraham, which meant father of many nations. And everybody knew what that name meant. So now he was being called father of many nations. Every day of his life, something was being spoken to him. Something was being spoken to Abraham every day to where he finally, it dawned on him. I am Abraham, the father of many nations. And he gave birth to a son. It was God's word that was spoken to him, and Abraham receiving that word and believing that word that caused it to be manifested. It wasn't manifested because of God. God said, this is my will and this is what I'm speaking. Now, what are you going to do with the word that I have spoken to you? What are you, Abraham, going to do with the word that I've spoken unto you? What are you going to do with the word spoken unto you? By his stripes you're healed. I've been made the head and not the tail. Everything I set my hand to prospers. I've been made above and not beneath. All of the promises are yes and amen. What are you going to do with these powerful words that have been spoken to you? What are you? Because everybody's waiting on God and he's saying, I've spoken to you the word. Now what are you going to do with what has been placed on the inside of you? What are you going to do? Up in heaven, you can probably hear. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Heaven's waiting on you and me. The church has been waiting on God. The angels are waiting on you and me. They are sent to be ministering spirits for you and me. They're waiting on you and me to speak forth the word of God, to make sure that word gets manifested. What are you doing with the word of God? What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? Quit waiting on him. We're just waiting on God. How's that been working for you? And you know what the bad thing is? He's getting a bad rap. Healing has passed away. God no longer heals today. Miracles have passed away. God no longer does miracles. I wonder why he doesn't do any of those things today. I just wonder why he doesn't do those things today. Maybe it's because the people who say they follow him don't really believe what was spoken to them through the word of God. Let's stand. Hallelujah.